go ahead and open up to John 10. I think part of what he's going to do today is focus like a laser beam on the ministry, the purpose of the ministry of the prayer center. It's the enemy's job is to get you distracted. And he does that, you can mark forward, we don't need to turn there. He does that through persecutions, afflictions, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. And in those phrases there, you could add a whole big list of a lot of stuff, you know. Car trouble, kid trouble, back trouble, rent trouble, nation trouble, trouble. You know, and what's that old deal said? It's, you know, when you're up to your armpits and alligators, it's hard to remember you came to drain the swamp. Well, when you're up to your armpits and all kinds of troubles, it's easy to forget you're here contending for revival. Now, the reason we're turning to John 10, see, I know what a teacher's role is. Did y'all know there's three laws of teaching? Tell what you're going to teach them, then teach them, then tell them what you taught them. Y'all know that? That's a law. That's three laws of teaching. So let's start. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to teach you. John 10, 37. This is the reason we're not in revival. This is the reason why the world lightly regards the church or dismisses the church. Because Jesus himself said in John 10, 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Well, how many of you are glad for the miracles you've seen at the prayer center? Let me rephrase that. How many of you are glad for the miracles you have received at the prayer center? I'm a walking miracle. I've got a heart that the medical science says I can't have. There is no cure for the heart disease that I have. They have no. All they can do is regulate it till you die. Try and regulate the heartbeat. And they say that medicine that they put me on, I'd never be off of it until I die. But I haven't had a dose of that medicine now since May of 1998. This is 2012 for benefit of the tape. Tape. Will I ever get over saying tape? Dear Lord. Benefit of the media. I'm thankful for the miracles I've seen here. And I'm glad for that. And Paul says, where we have attained, let us walk. Amen? But what we see when we look at the ministry of Jesus and his plain words to us, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Because I go to my Father. The plain words of his were just not walking it out. Dave, years ago, he was asking the Lord about this. He says, Lord, we're not arguing with you. We know these words are true, what you spoke. We know what it says, that we're supposed to be doing these works. But Lord, it seems like having the knowledge of that and walking in that seems to be longer than our lifetimes, that transformation. We never make it, you know. Yeah. Dave's message, I think it was last Sunday, on endurance. I don't know what they called it. I call it the endurance message, which is the prophecy out there on the wall. The very first word that the Holy Spirit ever spoke to the prayer center, endurance is the key. Oh, everybody just has no problem with endurance. Endurance is a rarely found commodity in today's modern world. Somebody asked me as I come in this morning, said, how was Canada? You never did tell us anything much about the Canada trip. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I was in Canada for a few days, and we knew it would be a small meeting, and we knew it would be pretty much a believer's meeting. These are the kind where the people, they're coming to be taught. They're already born again. For the most part, they're already spirit-filled. We saw several healings and things, but a lot of times when you pray for people, and I had to learn this myself years ago in Korea, for 6 years I went to Seoul, South Korea, and Bundang, really, which is a suburb, for 6 years and taught there and prayed for a lot of people, but especially the last night was always a big conference night. That was a big evening service. And I mean, when you opened up for the prayer line on that last night, you better have had a good night's sleep the night before, because you're probably going to pray for 300, 400 people. many times wouldn't start heading home from that service till 2 a.m. Pray for a lot of people. And it's the last night. The very next day, I'm on a plane flying back, you know. So a lot of times you don't see any instant manifestations. But when I would come back the next year, then all these people are telling me about what God did for them, you know, in that prayer line. This one fella, one of the most astounding miracles I had, there's a common thing they have over there with pigment of their skin. They'll have these blotches. Koreans have I love the complexion of the Koreans. I wish I had that myself. It's a more kind of an olive almost. But they would get it's a common thing that they get these white blotches over there, and they're usually permanent. And in one of the prayer lines, somebody came and, hey, I'll pray for anything. You know, how many believes all things are possible, you know? I prayed, didn't see any result, come back the next year. I hardly recognized the man because he didn't have the blotches anymore. Now, see, that's the kind of thing. That's getting close. When I read it, I am going to tell you about Canada. When I read about even the revivalists we've had in the last 100 years, John G. Lake, they would put that plague right on his skin. You know, they got scientists with microscopes looking. They put that live virus, bacteria, whatever it was, right on him, and they'd watch it die when it touched his skin. They'll say, what's causing that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, while the scientists watch. All right, how about Smith Wigglesworth? You read about his miracles. Not only did he raise a lot of people from the dead, but at those camp meetings that they would have, more than once, many times, they talk about people that would come with big cancerous growths, you know, just either on their stomach or some on their neck. And not every time, but sometimes when he would pray for them, while you've got thousands of people in the auditorium watching, and they would watch those growths just fall off on the floor, not come back a year later, you know, fall off on the floor. Now, I believe in all kinds of healing. As long as he heals me, I don't care if it's natural, supernatural, instant manifestation. You know, that heart thing I told you about a while ago, y'all have heard me give that testimony. It was 2 years walking that out before I had my full manifestation of it. But as long as you get healed. But see what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 10. Somehow or another, eventually the works have to be done. And if we're not doing those works, no wonder the world is not believing us. Well, now I'm back to Canada. Little, you know, we knew they'd be small services. By the way, you got to get delivered from money to go where God sends you. Get over that. If you haven't got free of that yet, how many people are in your church? If you ask that question, you're not ready to go. But anyway, I knew it'd be small service, and it was. I don't think we ever had more than 25 people there. But the last service, this lady came in, and it's the only time that I remember seeing her. I hate to guess her age. She's a lot younger than me. Let me just say that. I don't know. But she needed help coming in. First thing you noticed was she had a crutch on one side and a lady friend that was helping her on the other side, and I mean really helping. This lady was weak. She could barely walk. Any weaker, she's going to be in a wheelchair. Plus, I noticed she had a sore of some kind on her chin, right, kind of over here, and she had about a 1-inch gauze folded up with tape. But they're still a little red, you know, you could see through. Anyway, she come in, sit down, about halfway back, and doing the service. And finally at the end, does anyone need prayer? And she was one of the ones that come forward, who were praying for people, got to her. And again, the other thing you got to be delivered from is feeling the anointing. Now, I have felt the anointing. I love it. I've had it feel like molasses, like it was dripping off the end of my fingers. You know, I love that when that comes. But you can't be led by that. When those things come, that's a bonus. I mean, that's just, you know, that's, hey, give God extra glory that day, I guess. But that has nothing to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Didn't feel a thing. Prayed for her, though, and she went down like a sack of potatoes. Doesn't mean anything either. You know, Dave says it might be a CD. That's a courtesy drop, you know. You never know. But she really did. She went down, wham. You know, I'm glad we had good catchers because she really went hard. So anyway, she's just laying there, so there's nothing else to do, so we just go pray for pray for other people, you know. And I noticed after a little while, I mean, she was ready to sit back up. I was fairly close. So that lady friend was on one side, and I was on the other side, and we just got her by the shoulder, kind of by the arm, and she just got up real easy. And she looked at her friend, and she said, "Well, I couldn't do that before. Get up easy like that, you know." Well, she went and sat back down, still praying, ministering, doing things. And while we're doing that, I noticed that her and her friend went down the hallway to the bathroom. And still praying, ministering. They came back, sat down. After about 15 minutes, her friend came up to me and said, "You need to come," and me and Jim both said, "You need to come see something." Well, we come over there to where the lady was sitting in a chair. And the crutch was right there beside her. "What do you want us to see?" Well, she was just sitting there like you're sitting there. And she just goes down, up, down, up, down, up. Just as quick and easy, sitting in that chair, standing up, sitting in the chair, standing up without any help. She said, "You just don't know. I could not do anything like that before." And she said, "I don't know if you noticed." She said, "While I've been sitting here, my leg got to feeling funny." "See, what you don't know is I'm underneath my clothes this morning. I have these sores. They've been on me for a long time." What she has, by the way, is lupus. Okay, lupus. I've prayed for people with lupus before that they put in a hospital the next day. Seriously, within the last year. So I have prayed for lupus and saw no manifestation. Does that make you quit? That makes you press in. Okay. So anyway, it's lupus. Okay. And she said, "I've had these sores for a long time. But," she said, "after y'all prayed for me and I sat back here, not only is my strength coming back, my legs started feeling funny. So we went to the bathroom because this morning I put fresh gauze on a number of sores on my legs. And I went to the bathroom and one of them was feeling funny. I took that gauze off and the sore is gone. And I took another one off and that sore is gone. I can't wait to get home and see what's going on here. You know, I'm going to take a rest of them all." Now that's getting closer. We're pressing towards the mark. Pressing towards the mark. Yes, sir. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now why doesn't that happen all the time? Well, you know, let's go with the standard answers. It's just not God's will to heal them all. I will grant you there are times, there are still things I'm learning. I would like to be able to tell you I understand everything in the Bible. I don't. There's whole passages I don't teach on. Why? I don't understand them. Wouldn't you rather I wait till I understand them than pretend like I do? Teach you something wrong, you know? I don't know why Jesus walked into the pool of Bethesda and only went to the one man. I really don't know why. You don't either. Don't send me your answer. I have a round file can for it. If anybody knew the answer to that, it'd be out there. Nobody knows the answer to that one yet that I know of. I don't know why that. So somebody asked me the other day, says, well, can you just at will just... Well, I don't know. Jesus said everything he did by the will of the Father. He says, I'm not trying to do my own will. I only do the will of him that sent me. I do know that we are told to look at Jesus. So I do know this. You can research it for yourself. Every person that ever came to him asking to be healed, they got healed 100%. Now that tells me in the prayer line, they didn't get in that line because they don't want to be healed. By getting in the line, they're asking. Amen? So I expect in our prayer, let's just first level, I expect in our prayer lines 100% to be healed first time, every time, no exceptions. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if they're missing a leg, missing an arm, missing an eyeball. I don't care what it is. The maimed were made whole. Amen? Now that's part of the mission of the prayer center. Don't get so involved. Whatever hell the devil's been throwing at your house. It's amazing we can sleep for the kitchen sinks hitting our wall. Throwing kitchen sinks at you, everything, you know. Car trouble. lung trouble, every kind of trouble you can think of, you know. Wham, bam, can't even sleep, kitchen sinks flying through the air, devil's doing everything he can. Why? He doesn't want us showing the world the works of the Father. See, that's the mission of the prayer center. That is why we are here, to press past. See, and it's not, God's not withholding. He's not withholding revival. He is, this scares me. He is pouring through me, actually probably pushing through me every ounce of revival, miracle power, authority, dominion, anointing that he can. The problem is not God or his willingness. The problem is Gary. Aren't you glad it's not you? Now, if you haven't found Ephesians 2 by now, just look on with your neighbor. Sunday night's message at Calling in the Lost is called The Quickening Spirit. I really would advise you to, it's already at the website in audio form. I don't think it's there in video form. When that video comes, that is a lesson that is almost has to be seen because of the nature of it. I really recommend that you hear it, and when the video comes out, watch it. I'm only going to quickly, and I mean quickly, talk about it tonight. Oh, let me read the verse here. Ephesians 2, chapter 1. And you hath he quickened, who were what? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, the problem with the human race is not really sin. Sin is a byproduct of the real problem. The problem with the human race is spiritual death. The problem with man is not that he's a sinner. The problem with man is that he's dead. Spiritually dead. You can forgive him till the cows come home, and that does not change what he is. He is spiritually dead. That's why it says here, you hath he quickened. Quickened means to bring to new life, made alive. But you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We were still living in those sins. It's not like we were, you know, nobody could keep the law. God gave the law, but nobody could keep it. Nobody was living righteous and holy. There was everybody was dead in their trespasses and sins. See, Adam was made a living soul. This is a little review from Sunday night. We started Sunday night with 1 Corinthians 15:45. Stay in Ephesians 2. That's where we're going to be. But 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who's that? Jesus. He was made a quickening spirit. See, Adam and Eve, they could produce eternal creatures. That even in their fallen state, they have something that the animal creation does not have. Animals can produce temporary life, but they don't produce eternal creatures. Adam and Eve, even in their fallen state, can produce eternal creatures. They're going to live forever somewhere. But the problem is, the creatures they're producing, they're filled with spiritual death. They can only produce what they are. And here's the thing. The first man, Adam, could produce that kind of life. It is, in a sense, eternal life, in the sense that those creatures are going to live forever, even though they have death in their spirit. But the thing that the first Adam could not do, he couldn't go to anything dead and make it alive. You see that? If it's dead, he could not make it alive. Now that's the difference between the first Adam and the last Adam. The last Adam can quicken from death to life. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the big difference, that quickening spirit. Again, I recommend Sunday night. I'm leaving out so much, it just makes me want to teach it again. But I don't have time. All right, verse 2. Now, wherein in time past, Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That is real nice for you. We're following the devil. What? Not me, Brother Gary. According to the prince of the power of the air. walking according to the will of the devil. No! Boy, I love my little lily cakes. I'm having a hard time this weekend because my lily cakes and Cole and Aaron and Kyle, they're in Kansas City. That's 6 hours away. So we spent extra time with them Friday and Saturday morning so we could endure. That little Lily, oh, she loves her papa. Her papa loves her. I'm telling you, we have a good time together. Right at the same time, that little girl would just lie to my face. Steal from her brother. Hopefully she was doing it in fun. Let's say that. Stole his wallet one time. Wouldn't admit that she stole it. Finally, Papa couldn't do it. Daddy got on to her. Finally, she believed the threatenings. Where is that wallet? Where did you put it? It's in the refrigerator. See, now, having this little four, at that time, 4-year-old granddaughter helps me understand. Here she is, not born again yet. With that, she's walking according to the power of the prince of the air. She's walking according to the nature she was given. Does that mean I don't love her? For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. I love her. I'd give my life for her. God loved those sinners and he gave his son's life for them. I understand it so much better now. That doesn't mean I want to leave her like that. She's going to get born again. Cole already is, by the way. Hallelujah. She will be soon. Just turned 5. We're in a time, but even at 5, I can see already those tendencies. Without good upbringing and good parents, just left on your own, what are you going to do? You're going to, if you're a little orphan, grow up in the streets in the law of the jungle, you know? Well, you're going to walk real close to that prince of the power of the air. It's the law of survival, you know, survival of the fittest. So, whereas in time past, verse 2 again, you walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world. That reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. But see, when you're born of Adam, that first Adam, you're born according to the spirit of the world. And that's what causes you, in Ephesians 2 here, to walk according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh. I don't know if you notice in your King James, they got it right. That's a little s. That's right. That's the nature that they received from the first man, Adam. And it's not according to the nature of God. It's according to the nature of the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also a few of us had our conversation. See, we all, there is no exception. Born of woman, born of Adam. Born with that spirit of the world. There are no exceptions. We all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And notice, and were by, what's that next word? Were by nature the children of wrath. Even as others. There it is. In the plainest word you're going to find in the New Testament. What's the problem with man? Wrong nature. Spiritual death. His father is really the devil. Even though God loves us. God says, I will be as a father to you, even in the Old Testament. That's his desire. It was always his desire. God's original plan. Adam is, look in the genealogy in Luke 3, right near the end, the last verse says, and Adam, who was the son of God. Adam was not a god. God wasn't making another god. God was making a man in the image of God. A man who could walk above sin. A man who could walk with dominion over the devil. He should have kept, the first time that devil showed up at the edge of the garden, stepped one little pinky toe over into the garden, Adam should have kicked him out. In the name of the Lord. Well, look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, and right there's John 3:16. for his great love, even while we were in that state, even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He loved us. I love Lily. Right in the midst of it. Right in the midst of hiding her brother's wallet in the Wafujiweta. Apple of my eye. Everything I have is hers, really. It's just, he's so little. Love him. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I so understand. So forth his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. If you underline in your Bible, you ought to underline that word together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And raised us up together. There it is again. Underline it again. And made us sit, there it is again, together in heavenly places. Now notice, for years I got this wrong. In Christ Jesus, not with him. Amen. See, we've been going through, not at the depth I'd like to, but within the last year he had me produce those in him scriptures. Get them all together, make confessions out of them. We've had them at the website. Every verse in the New Testament that talks about in him, in Christ, in whom, by his blood, everything like that that tells us who we are in Christ, we've been having that available. I've been trying to go through it at least once a day myself, just trying to renew my mind about who I really am in him. For a long time, I had this mental picture of me. There's the Father, there's Jesus, and then there's Gary. Well, Peter would probably want to be next, but anyway. James and John. You know what I'm saying? With him. And it's not that we're not. Don't lose that. Because legally, you are. But really, how you're there is because you're not in Adam anymore. You are in Christ. Every time that this word together is used there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, hath quickened us together, raised us up together, made us sit together. The tense there. We always think in English, okay, Jesus was raised and quickened and seated 2,000 years ago, and then 2,000 years later, or whenever it was that Gary believed, then Gary was quickened and raised and seated. That's not what it says. The Greek language, actually, how God sees that is that the instant that Christ was quickened, raised, and seated, you, even though you weren't born yet, were quickened, raised, and seated in him. Glory to God. I'm going, that's great. I wish I knew what it means. Well, I didn't really understand that until I started to understand who I was in Adam. See? Do you know that the whole human race at one time was in the loins of Adam? I was in Adam thousands of years before I was born. I was in him. Physically, that's easy for me to understand because of the seed, fertilization, birth, seed. I can see that coming down the line. But see, we don't have that same frame of reference when it comes to Christ. But really, the Bible says we should have. We are born of his seed. But it's a spiritual seed. We are just, in the same way, it's not so hard for me to understand. I was in Adam. I was in him. I was in the loins of Adam thousands of years before I was really born. I've got to understand I was in Christ thousands of years before I was really born. God saw me in Christ before the foundation of the world. So it's all predestination, no? It's all knowing. God knows the end from the beginning. Doesn't mean he took away your power of choice. But he does know what you chose before you chose it. That's a whole other vein. We'll get into that some other time. Now, what was the purpose of this? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his what? Grace is different than mercy. He talked about who... See, look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. Dave's had it right all these years. I mean, he mercy is when you walk in the house and you catch the guy red-handed stealing your television. You pull out your 30-06, no, not a 30-06, you wouldn't have that. You pull out your Smith & Wesson. You catch him red-handed and you say, put my TV back. And he starts begging for mercy. He says, I've got a family to feed. I've been out of work. I'm just going to sell this to get some milk for my kids, or whatever it is. And it's up to you whether you have mercy on that guy or not. You could call the police. You could send him to prison. So mercy forgives even though you did it, even though you're guilty. Mercy forgives. And mercy could let that guy go, but he still would be in the same problem he had before. If you let him go, you put my TV back, he puts the TV back and then leaves. Okay, he's forgiven, but he's not changed. And he still has all the problems he had before. He doesn't have any money for his kids. His kids are hungry. Grace is what comes after mercy. It's what Dave taught us all these years ago. Grace not only forgives him, says, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm not going to leave you in the problems that you're in. I'm going to adopt you as my son. I'm going to give you my name. And everything that I have, I'm going to make you an inheritor of it. You'll have all of your needs met. I will be your source. I will be your power. That's what grace does. First, he talked about mercy where God forgave us. But now he's talking in Ephesians here about grace. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his judgment of us. That's how I grew up in church. No, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He is always on your side. He's not always approving of what you do, but he's still on your side. My children, I love them. One of them sitting here right now. Love them. Loved them then. Loved them now. Did they always do everything pleasing in your sight? No. Did you love them while they were in the displeasing activity? Yes. One of them even got herself so far that she really got beyond my hand. She wound up in the legal system and there wasn't anything I could do, except hire a lawyer and work that way. Did you ever stop loving her? No. That's the way God is with us. Thing of it is, his power, you don't ever get beyond his power. I don't care what you did, you don't get beyond his power, his grace, his ability to fix it, to help you, to show his kindness towards you at your darkest hour. But I'll tell you what, at the same time, and this is from him, he is not an enabler. I mean, he is not going to buy you drugs. He's not going to give you money to buy drugs. Yes, he will. Ask the prodigal. I mean, he got so low that he was put his face in the trough with the pigs. And it says, no man gave unto him. And in the margin of my Bible, I wrote, thank God. We have too much enabling going on in the body of Christ. Too much enabling. God does not enable either. Too much enabling. Anyway. Hallelujah. So, what has this got to do with the works of the Father? It's got everything to do with it. I'll tell you right now, our mission, believe this book. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We've used that for cars, for healing, for salvation, good. For all, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We've used it for everything, and that's good. I'm not against any of those things. I've used it for that. I preach that. I think you should use it for that. But how about faith for the works that he did? How about faith to believe that I am who he says I am? In spite of all my ugliness, in spite of all my failures, real faith is going to believe what he says. Right in the face of everything about you that says otherwise. You are a child of the living God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are anointed everywhere you go, and you are to be about your Father's business. Everywhere you find the devil has done great harm to your Father's garden. We have come again as Adam in the first garden. We have come to tend and to keep the garden of God. Well, the whole earth is his garden. Paul said about the Corinthians, you are God's husbandry. That means you are God's garden. Finds some woman bowed over for 18 years. Been going to church for 18 years. For years, I didn't get the significance. Y'all remember that story? That woman bowed over for 18. Nothing's in the Bible by accident. Why 18 years? 666. Six is the number of man. Six is the number of religion without God. Went to church, went to synagogue for 18 years, bowed over by the devil, and man's religion couldn't get her free. All she needed was one encounter with life. That's the way it's got to be here. Go to verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Well, obviously grace is the gift of God. We don't deserve it. You don't earn it. It's obviously by grace. A lot of people take this to mean even the faith. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And they think that the next verse says, and that, faith, not of yourselves. That even the faith is a gift of God. And that's not totally wrong either. Let me read you the Amplified version of this. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. And that's the way I really understand this. It's really talking about grace. It's talking, this whole passage in context is going from death to life, from darkness to light, from being lost to salvation. And it's all by grace. It's free. You can't earn it. But I'll tell you this, you can believe it. And that's the mission that we're on. Now where it says, even if you go, if you do take it to say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and you, now you're saying, and faith is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, that's not totally wrong either. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. God, by his grace, has given us his word. By this, we have faith. But it's, how many of you know people that you've shared the gospel with? You shared the word of salvation with them. Was it their choice? They could believe it or not believe it. Don't think your choice is not important. How important is free will choice? Well, if God was ever going to override man's free will choice, he would have slapped Adam down right before he ate the fruit of that tree. No. God does not, he's not interested in robots. He's not interested in people or creatures that have no free will. He's interested in family. Family. And it's free by grace. He took you right out of it. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. How many taking you back a ways? Just as I am, I come. Just as I am. And boy, that's the way he'll take you. But the wonderful thing about God, he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He's not going to leave you a thief and a liar and an orphan and hungry and no hope. He takes us like that. We here in Ephesians, it says, before these people got saved, it says you were without hope and without God in the world. Thank God those days are over. I am a man. You're looking at a man full of hope and with God in the world. And I'm telling you, all things are possible. All things are possible. Not of works, lest any, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, that's just, again, going back to, no man is saved by keeping the law. Now here we come to verse 10. This is really, I guess, this one in John 10, verse 37. This is the signature verses. For we are his workmanship. created in Christ Jesus. Did you create yourself in Adam? You know, if I was to ask my dad, I said, Dad, didn't I have an O.R. Carpenter? He's gone on to be with Jesus now. He knows now a lot of the things I told him are true. Love you, Dad. anyway. He loved the Lord, though, boy. He loved Jesus, served Jesus, good Baptist daddy all the days of his life. I love my dad. If I was to ask my dad, or if I was to, when he was alive, Dad, I sure am glad I worked hard to become your son. He would look at me and said, boy, it's always boy. I don't care if you're 60. Boy, you didn't have nothing to do with that. That was me and your mama. We didn't consult you because you wasn't there to consult. You is our work. That's bad grammar, but good revelation. You is our work. You are the product of what we did. And this is exactly the same thing. You could not do anything to be born again. This is the work of God the Father, God the Son, by the power of the Holy Ghost. You believe it by faith. You receive it by faith. That's your choice. That's the part he left intact. You hear the word of God. Faith comes. Your choice. Believe it or not believe it. But if you believe it, that activates the power of the Holy Ghost and you literally are born again. But it's not your work that caused it to come to pass. It's God the Father, God the Son. You were created in Christ Jesus. That's your whole identity now. Who you are in him. Again, I'm going to recommend at this point that document we have available at www.garycarpenter.org. It's in the printed materials section, and it's called the In Him Confessions. That's who you are. That's who you were created in him. The same during Ephesians chapter 4 here. Later it says, that new person, the real you on the inside, that person on the inside, the real you is not your flesh. The real you is not the unrenewed parts of your soul. That's who you're struggling against. Ephesians, here, let's look at it again. You're in Ephesians. Go over to Ephesians 4. I want you to see it again in your Bible. Ephesians 4. There it is. Starting in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God, and that means that after God right there means in God's image. In God's image. Is from the get-go, the moment you were conceived, can I say it that way? The moment you were birthed in Christ. You don't arrive there, you're birthed there. In righteousness and true holiness. Alan got a glimpse recently. See, something happened to him. It was on a Wednesday, I think. If I'm saying this wrong, you come correct me now, not later. He's sitting here. I'm trying to get it right. But in a period, in a time of worship, and we all struggle with that. The devil is hell-bent. Can I say it that way? He's hell-bent on getting you to believe that you are your flesh. On getting you to identify with the unrenewed part of your soul. He is hell-bent on that. That's why you feel like a failure about 9/10 of the time. And it makes you think that's who you are. That's not who the Bible says you are. No. Alan, he had this experience in worship, worshiping the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then all of a sudden, so here's Alan just worshiping the Lord, as I understand it, worshiping the Lord. And then suddenly, maybe it was a dry time. I'm not sure what was going on, but he's worshiping. Suddenly he sees a vision of the true Alan. And I mean, this Alan's having a time with God. I mean, the real Alan, he got a glimpse of this real man on the inside, who Alan really is. And the thing of it is, that new man is on the inside of each and every believer. The devil wants Gary to think that my mistakes, my losing my temper, whatever it was, that selfish, whatever it was, that's Gary. No. That's the That's the combination, I guess. That's the product right now of the new man clothed with all kinds of misunderstandings still. But that does not change the new man. See, that new man is who God created him. He is created in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness. My job is not to try and make him fit who I am. My job is to let the Spirit of God renew my mind until more and more progressively, I am conformed to that new man on the inside, which is already made in the image of God. That's who we are. That's really the fight of faith that we're in. And if we're going, again, I said, like a laser beam, focus in on the mission of this church. Ultimately, it's to bring to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Well, we're not going to get there without believing God's word. We are not going to get there without, how many of you have fought fights of faith? How many of you believe God for a tire for your car? You know, for anything. Believe God for healing, for a headache, anything. But I've had small fights of faith. I've had big fights. I've had fights of faith where my life was on the line. Y'all know a recent one that I went through? That my life wasn't on the line, but it was scary enough. Okay? This fight is harder than any of them I've ever had in my whole life. Because each of us walks around in our own universe. I don't know if you know that or not. This was something that happened many, many years ago. Somebody, a really born-again, spirit-filled person, got killed tragically in an auto accident. Totally unexpected. Boy, for the life of us, you know, we're going, what in the world? How can that just happen, you know? And then Dave at the funeral, I'm probably not going to say it as eloquently. I hope I'm getting it right. I know I'm getting the heart of it right. He said, every person, yeah, we don't know why, but every person lives in their own universe with God. If he was able to wake him up just for a minute, the guy in that coffin right there, if you could just have him just for a minute, he knows why. He knows why. Him and God. Did I say it about right? There's a whole universe. Dave's sitting there. He's nodding his head. There's a whole universe. Well, see, that helped me understand. But now you're walking in a universe. You've got your own universe thing going on with God. No matter what face you put, I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. No matter what pretty face you we all put on to come to church, there's a whole universe where just you and God. And who you really think you are does not line up with what God says you are. Everybody in here. And that's where you're really walking. David would say the guy you're leaving home, you know. That's got to change. We've got to come to the place. See, I don't think Jesus was like that at all. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't think he was like that at all. I think he was the same at home, the same in the synagogue, same when he was ministering. There was no difference, and there will be no difference here. God did not give us this because we cannot understand this word. God did not give us this so that we could not believe his word. God made us new creatures. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll finish there probably. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. I referenced this verse earlier. Yes, sir. Help me say that. This has been one of my favorite passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for a long time. Just verse 12. Now what? Now that we've been born again. We have received not the spirit of the world. And again, notice they got it right, little less. That Adamic nature passed down from Adam. Now that you're born again, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit, little s, that's correct, a new nature, your spirit, which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, Chuck the Duck Y'all remember the parable of Chuck the duck? How did the duck learn he was a duck? He had to be taught by a duck. How do you learn you are the child of God? How do you learn that you are a creature, a spirit? The real you is a spirit which is of God. You have to be taught by the Spirit of God. Who he's going to point you to is Jesus. The duck teaching the duck who thought he was a chicken. Remember the Chuck raised by chickens? Thought he was a chicken? So the duck had to come and say, no. Look at your bill. Look at my bill. Does it look like them? No. Look at your web feet. Do those chickens have web feet? No. You're a duck. The Holy Spirit's going to come to you and say, look at Jesus. And you go, oh no. No, look at Jesus. He didn't sin. But I do all the time. Not the real you. You don't have to anymore. Let's say it that way. You don't have to anymore. I don't. My whole history tells me I do. In fact, yesterday tells me I do. In fact, about an hour before church tells me. But the Holy Spirit is unrelenting. He is the duck to train your chuck. He is the Spirit of God come to reveal who you are. And who he's going to point to is Jesus. You can walk like him. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. How do you know you can't? By my experience. What does God's word say? It says I can. Then you can. You can do the same works. No, I can't. How do you know? I prayed. They died. That's not what the word says. Look at Jesus. You can. And he is unrelenting, unrelenting. And in this passage, it tells you there's only one way. You're never going to get it mentally first. This is not mental food. It's not, you can't acquire it mentally. You get it mentally, but only after you receive it spiritually. So let's keep going. Let's finish this up right here. Okay, verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Here it is. Because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. What spiritual teacher do you have that the world does not have? The world could listen to Dave, someone not born again. They can listen to Dave and Mark and Gary teach. They might get something out of it. But this is not mental understanding. This is not mental food. The things of God are spiritually discerned. And here comes the message to get us to the fulfillment of doing the works of Jesus. I thank God for the day I walked through the doors of this church and found out I have a spiritual teacher. I thank God for the ministry of Dave Roberson and everybody who teaches here. I thank God for that. But they're not really the teacher. They're not really the one that's able to transform me. Who is it? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. I know I took you away from here. Let me just read it to you. No, this is it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, but unto something. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are those good works? Jesus said, many good works have I done of my Father. For which of these do you stone me? And later on he says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. We were created in Christ Jesus for the very purpose of being transformed into that same image, so that we could be doing those exact same works. Let us yield ourselves to the only teacher that can bring us there. And that teacher is the Holy Ghost.